We find boosted trust and boosted reciprocity and altruism amongst children. Enormous amount of inter-ethnic friendships building up. So you see a Turkish child friends with the Syrian child and vice versa.
Welcome to Vox Dev Talks. My name is Tim Phillips. And the Syrian civil war has been going on for a decade now, and millions of Syrian refugees have been forced to flee and start new lives in new countries. Turkey's received 4 million of them. A quarter of those refugees are children. Şule Alan of the European University Institute is one of a team of researchers that tested a program that was designed to build social cohesion in Turkish schools attended by these refugee children, and have been encouraging results so far. Şule, welcome to Vox Dev Talks.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me, Tim.
How big an impact has the Syrian refugee crisis had on Turkish society? Has it been difficult to assimilate this many displaced people?
I think the sheer number of them was the big problem and still is the big problem for Turkish society. When we look at an impact, we see two types of impacts, actually. One is actual impact on labor market, on educational institutions, and in our social life. And there's also perceived impact, like people, how they perceive this impact to be in their, especially for the labor market, for their own jobs and for school environment. So we often see these two don't align. Often what we see, and this is true in other contexts where we have a lot of refugees or migrants, is that people think that migrants take their jobs and the school environment is not as good. But when you look at the data, that's not what you see. The migrants usually bring a lot of things to the communities they migrate to. And the Syrian refugees are no exception in that regard. There's voluminous research, not just mine, but on labor markets, for example, we know that a lot of Syrian refugees took only informal, low-paying jobs from the Turkish workers, pushing them to the formal, higher-paying jobs, toward those sort of occupations, better occupations. And not to mention that they actually revive, through the demand, they revive the communities they actually move into. So overall labor market impacts seem to be positive, but the perceptions are still negative. And overall school impact is what I study as well. And there are some issues deteriorating school climate, but most of it is also misplaced and misaligned with the reality, I would say.
What is the fear that people have about the changes that are happening in schools?
It's the fear that people always have, and people who don't look like you, who don't act like you, who don't talk like you arrive in your community. You feel threatened. You feel your resources are limited and you're sharing those resources with these people. And the schools are like that too. Add to that, the program that we evaluate our intervention in, Ministry of Education program, basically put these students into Turkish schools. Since 2016, that was part of the EU-Turkey agreement on the refugee children. They just put them in schools. Watching the numbers a little bit, in the end, the sheer number did not allow you to do that. What we see here is a lot of schools with a lot of refugee students who do not speak the language. What happens is that if you have one or two of these, this is fine. This is fine. The teacher can handle this. They are very young children. They learn whatever the language, even if it's difficult, like Turkish, they learn very fast. What happens if the number increases, it poses a burden on the teacher. Because teacher now has the problem of managing classroom with, say, 10 refugee children who do not speak the language. So she has to deal with them and also cover the national curricula in the classroom. So on the part of teachers, the burden was huge. And that itself motivated our study.
Now, this study was an experiment to see how you could build social cohesion. And that's quite a big term. What does it mean? How do you measure social cohesion?
So social cohesion is a concept, a construct that the sociologists new long time. Mm-hmm. And the economists have been getting more interested in the last few decades. So social cohesion, as far as sociologists is concerned, can be thought in any group setting. You can think about the cohesion in a community, cohesion in school, cohesion in a society, or cohesion in our planet. You can think about a group setting and you think about the cohesiveness of a group. So what does it mean to be cohesive or non-cohesive? There are several features of a cohesive or non-cohesive environment for a sociologist. For example, we know the cohesive environments have less violence. We know the cohesive environments have more tolerance toward different looking or different acting people. Cohesive environments have more prosociality amongst members. So members trust more each other, reciprocate more. They have altruism toward each other. And for me, the most important thing that we also measure is the social bonding between the members of any community, and no matter how ethnically diverse that community is, how different people are within that community, which is usually a threat to social cohesion. Because it's easy to be cohesive, nice, trusting to people who look like you, mm-hmm. who have the same culture as you. You know, that's much easier. But it's hard is to build that and maintain that in an environment where a lot of people are very different and a very different background.
So to try and build this social cohesion, what particular abilities are you trying to develop in the children?
So when we look at what social cohesion means and what non-cohesive or cohesive environment means, we focus on certain characteristics of such communities. And that just takes us to the measurement, right? Mm-hmm. So what is a cohesive environment? Again, it's characterized by lower violence, lower aggression. And the same environment is also people trust each other, people are altruistic toward each other, they cooperate more. Can we measure that? Yes, economics have tools that we can measure those. Also, these are the environments where actually inter-ethnic relationships, call it a friendship or support networks, those relationships are formed and maintained. Can we measure that? Yes, we can measure that. So all the characteristics of a cohesive environment can be measured with a large and nice, rich toolkit that we have. And it's not just the economics toolkit. We get this toolkit from experimental economics, psychology, sociology, even sometimes anthropology. Mm-hmm. We actually put it together to characterize this abstract concept of cohesion. For this, we said, okay, it's not just we want to measure this. Obviously, we want to measure this, but we want to change this. So what happened is Turkey experienced this shock. You can call it a natural shock. Mm-hmm. Turkey experienced this shock, and all our state schools, and especially at the primary level when we were in the field, they experienced these large influx of refugee children. Everybody is worried. They think the teaching quality is declining. The host kids are not learning as much. Teachers are frustrated. This is not going so well. So we have to do something. We have to build a community cohesive environment in a way that school environment that will allow the teachers to go on with her primary duty, which is covering the curriculum. For this, we said, how do we make sure we can affect these cohesion characteristics that I described to you? Prosociality, social bonds, lower aggression, so on and so forth. How can we influence them so that a school that I interfere looks a lot more cohesive than the school I did not interfere. Mm-hmm. So for that, we said, what is one single trait or skill, whatever you call it, that allows all of these characteristics to be affected? So what is it about humans that make them more sociable, more trusting, more prosocial, less antisocial, less violent, and all that stuff? And we came up with one single core trait, and that is perspective taking. And perspective taking is a cognitive ability. It's not an emotional state. You can think about empathy in two ways. One is what we call cognitive empathy that we actually work on, mm-hmm. and an emotional empathy that we don't work on in this study. Cognitive empathy is a slow thinking cognitive process. It's not like seeing somebody suffering and feeling emotionally charged. It's more than that. It's looking at you and try to understand your intentions, where you're coming from, why are you upset, or why are you happy? So this particular trait is a core trait that makes you social, That makes you even successful in life. Those who can master this trait, those who can take the other's perspectives very easily, are also the people who are successful in corporate life, in labor market, in also in other domains in life. We said, okay, if we can teach this, we can strengthen this in children when they're very little, you can do that. Because my research shows these are critical periods that you can actually instill those character traits into these children, even in the school environment. If you do that, can we affect those cohesion indicators in a way that the school becomes more cohesive, the classroom becomes more cohesive, and the teacher can teach?
But Shule, how do you teach something like this? How long does it take to teach perspective taking?
These are the students and these are the schools that are particularly chosen for this study. There are kind of deprived individuals, deprived schools, in a way that the family factor is not the families that you think that provide a lot of resources for their children, including like cognitive resources, also character development opportunities. A lot of these students don't have a lot of resources at home to develop the character that we need to be successful in the academic life and the labor market in the future. What I mean is, these are the students whose only hope is school. Only hope to develop human capital and also these social skills, these important skills, is school. And how do you do that in school? Well, you enlist the teacher, the willing teacher who wants to teach, cover what she needs to cover, but while doing that, building a set of character traits that would help her teach. And perspective taking was one of them. So what we did here was we collaborated with a lot of psychologists and education consultants. And we said, okay, how can we attack one single trait that is perspective taking, that's cognitive empathy, develop activities, multimedia materials to teachers so they can use these materials. They can leverage these materials to get what they want, which is more sociable, more prosocial, less aggressive kids. So that's what we did. And we gave the teachers one full academic year to do this, 2 or 3 hours per week. They were real fun activities. A lot of animation videos that show, I see your pain, you see my pain, it is the same pain kind of argument. Or you see a social situation and then you try to understand what this person must be thinking, what the other person must be thinking. This went on for the entire academic year, and the kids loved, enjoyed all these activities. And I think in the end, of course, as we see from the results, it was very, very successful.
Was this your initiative or was it driven by the government? Who set this up?
It was my initiative. I have been working in Turkish schools since 2010 for different projects, but the underlying concept that I work on is that for students who do not have the family factor, the family environment that is good enough to push them in the education ladder, as the school must be the only way. So if the school must be the only way, we can help these children develop the set of character traits that is important for achievement. And I worked on grit, I worked on patience, I worked on curiosity in children, and I worked on this particular social skill that is perspective taking. So when I knew that there was a problem, I mean, it was impossible not to know Turkish schools were suffering. I did come up with this idea and I pitched this idea to the authorities. And at that time, the authorities were like, you know, hands like this. And then we don't know what to do. What can we do? How can we help the teachers? How can we make this work? And then I said, okay, I have an idea. It's not the only way to build cohesion, but this might be one way. What we need to do is to, of course, test rigorously to see if it's working, or we need to move on and find something else.
You said that the results were encouraging. On the measures of cohesion, how much of an effect did it have?
We looked at the school level peer violence. We measured children's trust toward each other and also toward anonymous others. We know in economics literature, trust is everything. You can trust your brand easily, but trusting unknown people is the most important thing to build cohesive societies and actually become a prosperous societies in the end, right? So we measure trust, we measure reciprocity through incentivized games, fun games with children we played in the classroom. Using social networks, we measure inter-ethnic friendships. We ask any child in the classroom, who are your friends? Name three friends of yours. And in a nice cohesive environment, you would see some inter-ethnic friendships developing, right? So we measure that. So when we look at the effect of this intervention, of course, we randomly implemented this intervention, you may guess. You know, we had 80 schools, 40 of them, 224 teachers in total. Half of them in 40 schools got this treatment and the others didn't. So these are our placebo group. So when we look at the effects and compare the effects, what do we see? Huge decline in peer violence. Huge decline. We are talking about like 50% decline. What else? We find boosted trust and boosted reciprocity and altruism amongst children. Enormous amount of inter-ethnic friendships building up. So you see a Turkish child, friends with the Syrian child and vice versa. So we eliminated so much of the class ethnic segregation. When we look at a lot of segregated classrooms, we see socially segregated. You see that the refugee children are playing with each other, then the host children are playing each other. That's not what you want in a cohesive environment. You want a mixture. You want friendship. And I just don't want just mere tolerance, right? What I want is real friendship. And we see this. This program actually created this effect. And one surprising effect. The program had nothing to do with teaching anything to anybody in terms of academic qualities. Mm-hmm. So no children got extra Turkish or extra math or extra science or whatever. What we see is in the treated schools, Syrian children learn way better Turkish than the others. So that's normal, right? You don't have to teach them Turkish by using a board. What you need is to make them friends with the Turks, and then they learn. So in a way that it was a surprising result, but it's not a surprising in the end, right? So we see this result. So we see amazingly good results. We did go back to field and try to track them after 2.5 years last October to see if the results are still there. Some results dissipated. I mean, don't forget, 2.5 years later, and also we had a huge pandemic in between. Yeah. And the 1.5 year school closure. We lost a lot of refugee students from the education system, unfortunately. We lost a lot of girls from the education system. But even with that, we see some persistent effects. So this tells me this is a program that can generate really promising long-term effects if it is implemented at scale.
So you set out to improve social cohesion, but this program is having a lot of other positive effects on these children.
Yes. It says, again, that when you make the environment, school environment more cohesive, you see, for example, the Syrian children learn Turkish better, faster, right? And in the end, we will see probably because they can learn the language of the host country better, they will hang on to school better. Mm-hmm. They will keep coming to school, which is what we want, right? So it has a lot of externalities, if you will. But this is how it is. When you develop a social skill, it's very different from developing like somebody's mathematical skills. I develop your mathematical skills, it's good for you. When I develop your social skills, it affects the people you socialize with as well. So there are externalities. When you develop children's pro-social attributes, it has an effect on the society. What I believe, it's a good way of building social capital in a society.
So should this type of training be a permanent part of the curriculum for all children?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it should embrace every segment of the society. So we show in another companion paper, for example, that if you actually do it only for this, just one section of the society, all those externalities look weird. So you can't make a segment of the society trusting and the other segment of the society remain the same. Because as I said, these things are interactive issues, right? We need to make all our children pro-social, not a segment of them. So all of them pro-social, almost all schools in Turkey are ethnically mixed, and you need to have this inter-ethnic cohesion in all schools for the society's benefit and for the individual benefit. Everybody will benefit from diversity if the diversity also brings cohesion.
When you look at the challenges that global society is facing, climate change, conflict, that's just two. We know there's going to be a lot more forced migration in the next decade. Does your research lead you to believe that if we taught these attitudes more generally, maybe not just in schools, then that would help to integrate migrants into the societies where they end up?
I think that's what we need. The future is ethnic diversity, right? Mm-hmm. We cannot avoid that. And we should not avoid that. And it's coming. This is happening. So what we show here is there are ways, and we just show only one way, of developing a nice curricula and implementing it over an academic year in primary schools can go a long way to build a better school climate for teachers to teach. And in the end, better hope for the building of a social capital for the country. So I think we should all do this, not just school environment, as you say. For example, I do similar work in corporate environment, work environment, mm-hmm. how we should be pro-social toward each other to make the work environment more cohesive, workable, and the people don't burn out. People actually love their jobs when the environment is a cohesive and healthy and friendly. So it's true for any community, any group setting. We should invest in these skills. And one way to do it, we show, is to focus on certain traits. And perspective taking is one of them. That's what we need. We need perspective taking in this world, in every domain.
Well, the challenge is there. The evidence is there now. So let's hope that challenge is taken up. Chule, thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you.
If you want to read the paper, I assume you will after hearing that, then it is called Building Social Cohesion in Ethnically Mixed Schools, an Intervention on Perspective Taking. It was published in the Quarterly Journal of Economics, volume 136, number 4, November 2021. The authors are Shule Alan, Sheren Baisan, Mert Gumren, and Elif Kubilai. This has been a Vox Dev Talk. The best way to make sure you don't miss an episode is to subscribe on your podcast platform. And remember, all our past episodes are on voxdev.org, where you can find articles about the papers we feature.